Last week, Larry did a lesson on why I should be committed to be present at every meeting of the church. And he gave reasons for why not, and then reasons why we should be committed. Recall, how many can you think of? There's about 10 reasons why we should be committed. Give you a few minutes to think why we should be committed. It is the will of God. It is commanded by God. Hebrews 10, 24, 25, not forsaking the assembling as the habit of some. And Acts chapter 20, verse 7, we saw the example where they were traveling and they tarried over that they could be together with the saints. In Acts chapter 2 and 42, they gathered together, they came together to study the word, to listen to the apostles, be there too. The idea of coming together. So commanded by God. The idea of exhorting each other, which we will talk about a little bit later in Acts chapter, Hebrews 10 again, to us, obtain spiritual strength. Have you ever been out there? It's a nasty place out there. We come together to get spiritual strength. The idea that we come together, or I come together, or I come because I want to, a will to. I was glad when they said, let's go to the house of the Lord. Psalms 122, verse 1. I was glad. That idea that we should have that desire. I should have, not we. I should have that desire to be here. Repeat after me. I should have that desire to want to be here. As I am here in the presence with my family, Ephesians 2:19, we are members of the household of God. But when I am here in the presence with my family, Christ is here. Matthew 18:20, Christ is in our presence. The idea of we are imitating that of the first century church in the example that they set. Acts 2:42 again, where they came together. As I come together, I have an influence that is affecting others, was a point that Larry made. We all have an influence. You have an influence if you're here or if you're not here. You have an influence one way or the other. Is that a positive influence by being here, or a negative influence by not being here? Like, where art thou? What else is important to you? And what message does that send? I think Larry adequately used this, the idea of, as parents and grandparents, how our example affects our children and our grandchildren. That's one thing as a parent and as a grandparent that is so rewarding and so such a positive feeling, such a good, is when our children obey the gospel. Not because we make them, but because of the example that we've set in the teaching that they've got and the step that they make on their own. As our children and our grandchildren, the influence that we have, and the influence we have with our neighbors. Do you know that our neighbors see us going to church every Sunday? For the sake of unity, the unity of the congregation, Larry pointed out that the unity in the congregation is that we're all together. In Ephesians, it talks about the idea of being unified and working to preserve that unity in the congregation. If I am not here, as a study is being studied, as a book is being looked at and studied, as a topic is being discussed, and the congregation comes to a resolve on that, a conclusion on an agreement on it, and I'm not part of that, and then I come in the midst of a situation or something, well, we've already discussed that. Example being sin. We've discussed sin earlier this year. We discussed the fellowship that we have as a congregation and taking actions in the relationship to fellowship. If I'm not in agreement with that, that causes a dissension. So being committed, I come, I am part of, if I have questions about, we can discuss, and the church is unified on this, on our teaching, on the Bible, on what we believe. And the idea of needing to grow spiritually. Peter talks about grow in strength in the Word. Hebrew talks about the babe in Christ that over a period of time should not be a babe in Christ, but their lack of a knowledge and an understanding of the scriptures, the Hebrew writer is making discipline of them. So those are reasons why I should be committed to be here. Okay, all that being said, we're all here. Yeah, we're all here. Hopefully, some of those reasons are why you are here. Some of the scriptures that I had Joel read this morning was, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him as able to destroy the soul and the body in hell. Do not be afraid of those who can kill the body only, Satan, unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to kill body and soul. Hebrews 10:31, it is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It's a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Why? Why is it a terrible thing to fall in the hands of the living God? You're not prepared. You're not ready. If you're ready, it's not a terrible thing. We receive our reward, our heavenly reward, that Paul talks about when he was writing the letter to Timothy, having fought the fight, finished the course, he is ready to stand before the Lord. Was he terrified? No. So then, my beloved, just as you've always obeyed, not in my presence only, but much more in my absence, Paul writes in Philippians chapter 2, he says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Work out your own salvation. Here you go. Take this book. Let's all get up and walk out. And work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Matthew 16:27. Each person has to stand before God with what he has done in this life. Hebrews 9:27. Once to die, then comes judgment. Once this life, death, and then judgment. Revelations 20:15. If your name is not found in the book of life, you will be thrown into the lake of fire. If your name is not found in the book of life, it will be thrown in the lake of fire. 1 Timothy 1:17, James 2:26, Romans 2:16, John 12:18. All the same thing, all the same idea of this life, then comes judgment, and then you will be terrified to be standing before the living God or you will enter into that heavenly home. Romans chapter 14. A scripture that kind of talks about the same thing. Romans 14, verse 12. So then each one of us give account to himself, to God. Therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather determine this, not to put an obstacle or a stumbling block in a brother's way. Know that I am convinced that the Lord Jesus, that nothing is unclean in itself, but to him thinks anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. I'm sorry, that isn't quite what I wanted. I wanted to start up in verse 10. But you, why do you judge your brother? Why do you gain? Why do you regret your brother with, regard your brother with contempt? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall give praises to God, so that each one of us shall give an account to himself before God. I am going to have to stand before God and make account of my actions and what I did in this life. It is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God if I'm not ready. So what I wanted to look at this morning, in Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 23, is our assembling together. Hebrews 10, 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, all the more as you see the day approaching. So again, that command that we come together. And in there is that idea of encouraging, considering one another, provoking one another to love and good deeds. So as we come together, there is that idea of coming together, partaking of the Lord's Supper, in which I am strengthened, am I not? Are you strengthened as you partake of the Lord's Supper? A memorial to Christ, as John pointed out, but that is a reminder to us of what he did for us. What he did for us is of no value to me if I am not obedient to it. Here, take the word, go home, and have a good life, and be pleasing to God. I hope you were encouraged by being here this morning. We are to sing to one another, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and admonishing each other in our songs. Were you admonished by the songs that we sang this morning? You sang them. Were you admonished, and did you admonish your brother? Go home, have a good life, and be pleasing to God. You are to hear a lesson. We come together, Paul, in Acts chapter 20, he preached until midnight. Oh, no, 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 no. Guy, don't do that. Don't preach until midnight. Preaching the word, being strengthened by the word. Take that word, apply it to your life, go away, and have a good life, and be ready to stand before God. The idea that we are come together to consider one another, let us hold fast our confession of our hope. Let us hold fast to that that we have without wavering. Don't waver. For he who promised is faithful. What he has promised us, we are going to be able to receive. I need to hold fast to that. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling, as is the habit of some. why is it that I need to be encouraged or strengthened, provoked to love and good deeds? Matthew chapter 7, verse 14. The gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. So the gate is narrow, the way is hard, and those who find it are few. Well, we look around, there's not a whole lot in here, so we're on the safe side, right? Be encouraged, go home, live your life and pleasing to God, and you'll be able to stand before Him. Galatians 5:17, it says, the flesh is against the spirit, and the spirit is against the flesh. The two are opposed to each other. How is it that I can live my life in a way that is pleasing to God if my flesh is opposed to the spirit, which what I'm supposed to be doing, and the spirit is opposed to the flesh, which I'm living in the flesh? How can I make it? It's my responsibility. I have to stand before God for my deeds, for what I've done. Ephesians chapter 6. Put on the full armor of God. I have to put on a full armor of God. What's the idea of an armor? What's the idea of the idea here in Ephesians chapter 6? Finally, verse 10. Be strong in the Lord and the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. I got to put on an armor, and I got to be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. It's my responsibility. I've got to do it. You can't do it for me. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. I got to stand against that. You have to stand against that. You're not fighting against flesh. Our struggle is not against flesh, not against flesh and blood, but it's against rulers, and it's against powers, and against the world forces of this darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness. What is that? You got to fight against spiritual forces of wickedness. I hope you have a good life. You can go home now. Take the word, be strong, and be steadfast in it. Second Timothy chapter 3. Second Timothy chapter 3, verse 12. And indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Let me read that differently. And indeed, you living godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. You will be persecuted. Isn't that what that's saying? It says, you know, we live, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus. You know, all of us, that's all of us. No, that's me. If I live godly in Christ, what's going to happen? I'm going to be persecuted. Not maybe. I will be persecuted. Persecution comes in different ways. You know, we have, at the time in the New Testament where they were persecuted, Stephen being put to death for his standing against, for his stand that he took, he was persecuted to death. I think we do not have to be concerned about that. But are we persecuted? Are you being persecuted? Verbally, mentally? We live in a time in which, I think we could say is probably ungodly. Could we not? a godless land, godless times, opposition to truth, at work, whatever it is I do, there are those around us that are living ungodly, and I'm living in that, and I have to be steadfast and true to God and following His word. I'm responsible for what I do. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. So again, I would ask the question, and it goes back to that idea of Larry, the idea of being committed to be at the assembly. Why would you not want to be here? Is this not a safe place? All of us of like precious faith, worshiping God in a manner in which the scripture tells us, and we can stand for the truth and we can be encouraged by being here. But I would like us to look a little bit further at this idea of encouragement. Encouraging one another. Hebrews 10:24-25. We've read that. This is what it says again. It says, "Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. Let us consider how to encourage one another." How to encourage one another to love and good deeds. Not abandoning our own meeting together. We need to be here. As is the habit of some. Some choose not to make it as they should, as the Lord says. But encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So our coming together, praising God, going through our service, but we are to encourage one another. This is to be an encouragement to be here. How is it an encouragement to be here? Who is to do the encouraging? Preacher, stand firm in the truth, hold to your confession, and make sure that you encourage and strengthen those that are in the congregation. So the preacher is to stand up here speaking words of encouragement. Or song leader, stand up here and lead songs from our hymnal, songs, hymns, spiritual songs, and do it in a way in which you encourage the congregation. Who is doing the encouragement? And how is it being done? The idea of encouraging is to address, to speak to call upon. That may be done in a way in which exhortation, entreating, comfort, and instruction is given. Who is to do that? The preacher, the song leader, the elders. I think it says let's hold firmly the confession. Who's the let's? I think we could read that. Let us hold firmly the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful, and let us consider how to encourage one another with love and good deeds. Part of our being here is encouraging each other. And it's not just by sitting there. I don't think sitting there is going to encourage me sitting over there. Yes, I'm glad you're here, and it's good to see us all being together. But sitting over there, let us, as the Hebrew writer is talking about, is more than just sitting in the pews together. It's encouraging one another. How do we do that? How's your garden going there, John? Wow, your garden's going really good. Diana, how many cherries did you get off the tree? Peter, how'd the baseball game go last night? Who won? Were you happy with that? Fred, how's work going? Wow, it's good to hear. I'm glad everything's going well. Wow, you got a raise too. Well, good for you. Chris and Nett, they're not here. We'll pick on them. How was your vacation? They get back. How's your vacation? Encouraging and strengthening one another in love and good works. I don't think that has anything to do with it. The condition out there and what we face out there, when we come in here, we should be able to be and should need to be encouraged and strengthened by each other. Our spiritually, I think is what it's talking about. Second Timothy chapter 2. I meant 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, 1 through 12. For you yourselves know, brethren, that our coming to you was not in vain. Paul writing to the Thessalonians. But after we had already suffered and been mistreated in Philippi, as you know, we had the boldness in our God to speak to you the gospel of God amid much opposition. And our exhortation does not come from error or impurities, nor by way of deceit, but just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, who examines our hearts. For we never came with flattering speech, as you know, nor with the pretense of greed, God is witness. Nor did we speak glory from men, neither from you or from others, even though as apostles of Christ we might have asserted our authority. But we prove to be gentle among you, as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children. Having thus a fond affection for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you have become very dear to us. For you recall, brethren, our labor and hardship, how working night and day, so as not to be a burden to any of you, we proclaiming to you the gospel of God. You are witness, and so is God, how devoutly and uprightly and blamelessly we behave towards you believers. Just as you also know, we were exhorting and encouraging and imploring each one of you as a father would his own children, so that you may walk an upright manner of the God who calls for you, calls you into his own kingdom and glory. That idea that Paul's talking about here of encouraging in truth, in purity, in honesty, as a father, pleasing to God, not in error, not in uncleanness, not in deceit, not in man's ways, not in covetous ways, but God's ways. Encouraging in the truth. So again, think about it, that the way is hard, the road is not easy, we have to stand before God for what I did, but where is it that I can get strength and encouragement? And it's by coming to the assembly and being together with my brothers and sisters in Christ who make it their effort to encourage me. coming together, worshiping God, yes. Coming together to encourage each other, yes. And is that an option? Is that something that we worship God and, oh, if you have the time, encourage one another? Is that what that verse said? We come together to encourage. So we have to make an effort to do that. And I am the first one to tell you I am not a good encourager. I'm not standing up here boastfully saying, you need to be an encourager like me. That's not what I'm saying. We need to put on that desire and that will. It's what God wants us to do to encourage each other. So think about that as we are here. And how do we make that a part of our service? Do we have a, let's see, we can have announcements, prayers, gospel readings, we'll do a song, we'll partake of the Lord's Supper, then we'll have an encouraging moment and time in which we spend time to encourage each other, then we'll listen to the word, and then we'll have another prayer and giving, and then we can be dismissed. I don't know. I guess I'm kind of being facetious, but we need to encourage each other. You know, walking in, sitting down, getting up, and walking out afterwards, have you fulfilled this idea of encouraging each other? Encouraging one another. Is that how it's done? And Acts chapter 4:36, Barnabas is called a son of encouragement. I'd like to go to Acts 11 and read in Acts 11. And this gives us an idea of the abilities that Barnabas had, and starting in verse 19, Acts 11. So then, when they were scattered because of persecution, there arose a connection with Stephen, where they made his way to Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except the Jews alone. So their persecution arose, the church was scattered, individuals were scattered. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus of Cyrene, who came to Antioch and been speaking to the Greeks, also preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a large number who believed turned to the Lord, and the news about them reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem. And they sent him, they sent Barnabas off to Antioch. When he had come, he witnessed the grace of God, rejoiced, and began to encourage them with all resolute heart to remain true to the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Spirit, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and considerable numbers were brought to the Lord. Congregation there had Barnabas and his extreme ability to be a good encourager. He sent them to where it was needed to encourage. Why? To keep them faithful, to give them strength, to tell them to be steadfast to God. Considerate, observant, avoid hypocrisy, full of God's word, being faithful. Those are characteristics that an encourager would have. So we need to have those characteristics to do that. In Galatians chapter 5, it talked about there in Acts about Barnabas being full of the Holy Spirit. and you read that, is it like he was full of the Holy Spirit, able to perform and do miracles? Was he full of the Spirit in that way? Or was he full of the Spirit in which he was living with the Spirit in him? And I think either way, we can make application, but it applies. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. But the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh with its passion and desire. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. If we walk by those characteristics, we have the ability to be an encourager, to encourage one another, living in a way that is right with God, considerate of each other, being observant of each other, and knowing what it is that how can I encourage you? Or being able to ask how you can. In Acts chapter 14, verse 22, Paul returns to Acts 14:22. And after verse 21, and after he preached the gospel in that city, he made his way, and they made many disciples. He returned to Lystra, into Iconium, into Antioch. Well, reading before that, what had happened when Paul was there? You know, Jews came upon him, and he was stoned, and he was left for dead. He was left for dead. And then on his journey, what did he do? He turned around and went back to that same place where he was stoned. Verse 22, strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying, through much tribulation, we have to enter the kingdom of God. Think that had any meaning to those that were there when he was talking to them? It's rough out there. It's godless out there. We need to be in here, and we need to have each other, and we need to be doing our part of encouraging each other. We have a responsibility to do that. It's not an option. When we come together, let us hold fast our confession. Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, encouraging one another, all the more as you see the day drawing near. What was the day drawing near? There's a couple thoughts of that. The idea of AD 70 coming upon these people, which would have been the destruction of Jerusalem. Would that have been much turmoil, much tribulation, much testing, much fear? How are you going to get through that? Well, here you go. Here's your Bible. Take it home, read it, go out there, and stand before your enemies and be steadfast in God's word. Or let's be here together, encouraging and strengthening one another. I can do this. You can do this. You can stand firm. We need each other, and we have a responsibility to each other. And having that attitude that you're on your own, you have to stand before God for what you do, and I don't have anything to do with it. I think that's a dangerous attitude on our part. Titus chapter 1, verse 9. Titus chapter 1, verse 9. This is qualifications for an elder. And if you start up in verse 5, it says, for this reason I left you in Crete, that you might set in order what remains, and appoint elders in every city as I directed you. And he goes down through there and he tells them, husband of one wife, believing children, not rebellious, overseer, not quick-tempered. Verse 9, holding fast to the faithful word, which is in accordance with the teachings, that you may be able both to exhort. Qualification of as an elder is to exhort. What do we always say when we look at the qualifications of an elder? Yes, it's a man. Yes, it has to be a married man. Yes, they have to have children. But are those not qualifications for characteristics that all of us as Christians need to have? Be able to exhort, and who in sound doctrine, and refute those who are contradictory. That is ability that we need to have. We do. We need to have that. Hebrews chapter 3. So again, think of that as in Hebrews chapter 10, about coming together, about exhorting each other, encouraging each other to love and good works. We do that as we come together. But in Hebrews chapter 3, in verse 13, no, excuse me, I want to hold off on that. I want to go to Hebrews chapter 13. I guess you can kind of keep your finger there because we'll come back to it. Remember the prisoners of those in prison with them, and those who were ill-treated, since you yourselves also are in the body. I'm sorry, I'm getting off here. Verse 22, but I urge you, brethren, bear with this word of exhortation, for I have written to you briefly. And take notice of our brethren Timothy. The idea that this letter is a letter of exhortation to the Hebrew Christians. And it's written to the Christians. And then I can separate myself out of that and say it's written to Christians. I guess what I want us to think about is it's not written to Christians, it's written to you. And you need to apply it to you in your life. And as we are to give exhortation, each one of us, we are also to be able to receive exhortation. We need to be able to receive it and not be offended by it. I have gone to a brother in Christ to strive to be encouraged and to, quote unquote, be exhorted by a brethren in Christ. It was a time in which I needed some encouragement. And I went to this brother in Christ and was poorly received. And that was very discouraging. It was not helpful, and it was poorly received. We need to be able to know when our brother's in need and be able to give it. I have been exhorted by a brethren where they came to me and said, and I became very defensive. No, not me. I'm not that way. Again, saying we need to be able to receive exhortation. We need to be able to give it, and we need to be able to receive it. Back to Hebrews chapter 3. verse 13. Be encouraged, but encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, lest any one of you be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. But encourage one another day by day, as long as it is still called today. As long as we are still standing and it is still today, you know, we'll never get to tomorrow because tomorrow becomes today. It's still today. And as long as it's today, we need to be encouraging and strengthening each other. Verse 12, take care, brethren, lest any of you, lest there should be any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart and falling away from the living God. Take care, brethren, lest there should be an evil, unbelieving heart in falling away from the living God. It is possible for a Christian to fall away. Well, they've got to stand before God with what they've done. They've got to work out their salvation with fear and trembling. If there's a brethren in this congregation that falls away, I am responsible for part of that. Verse 13, but encourage one another day by day as long as it's still called today. We need to be here for each other. We need to be here for each other. So let's realize the significance and the importance of our encouraging one another. And it is something that we are to do as we come together. It's something that we are to do daily. We are to be aware of our brother's needs. We are to be able to walk in the truth and the fruits of the Spirit, so I have the proper attitude in my life to be able to correct others, to encourage them. And that goes the other way. I need to have that so I can be corrected as well. So those are the words, my words, my thoughts for us today. And again, I realize that I need this as well, if not more than most, in being able to encourage, but we need to be able to see that. If there are any in the congregation that need the prayers of the congregation to be strengthened in some way, to be encouraged, please let that be known. If there's one that has heard the word but has not been obedient to it, they can come forward, confess the Lord, repent, be baptized into the body, and you become a member of the congregation. Shall we stand and sing the song that's been selected?